Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Third Space. Space.
Actually, Kevin, they know we're not in space because you can't record sound in space. No sound in space.
In space,
no one can hear you scream. That's where the phrase
comes
from.
No, I got that. There's a lot of other things you can't do in space, like breathe and such as that. But you know, that was it was a joke. It was doing a gag.
We don't make any jokes.
I mean, you're right, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Kevin Weir.
I'm Jeremy Berkley.
Let's go. Snap, Jeremy. We came up with a topic just before we started recording.
We did.
And I do remember what it is because big reveal. We're doing another superpower showdown or whatever I called it.
But before we get to that, I want to apologize for it being over a month since we've done one.
Yeah, no, we lost track of time.
Yeah, and also our episode came out on Easter, never mentioned it. Never mentioned Easter. It came out on Easter Sunday.
It did come out on Easter Sunday.
And we never mentioned it.
Oh, wow.
I realized it that week and I forgot to tell you next week. But
So maybe we'll have to, maybe next year we'll come up with an Easter theme.
Maybe.
What if bunnies had eggs?
What if there's a bunny that broke into your house?
What if when you die you come back 3 days later?
What?
Everybody.
But the second time is for reals.
Yeah, you have one free death.
Yeah, one free death.
No, I was saying I'll snap because we decided what we were going to do, and I have no idea.
And you have to pick first because I picked first last time.
Oh, I do have to pick first, don't I?
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
All right, fine. Then I do have an idea.
Oh.
I'll pick one, yeah.
Okay, well, what is your idea?
This is a superpower showdown. This is where we both pick a superpower. And
talk about what would happen.
Yeah, for about half an hour.
Yeah.
All right. Remember, everyone in the world has it. The person who comes up with it
has always had it.
The person who comes up with it is the one who can bring all the caveats.
Yes.
Remember that I have. Everyone in this world.
The suspense is killing me.
Can turn invisible.
Oh no.
Now, some caveats.
Some caveats, yeah.
It's light. You turn invisible through the visible spectrum.
Okay, so infrared would still hit you.
Yes.
Ultraviolet and X-ray.
Yeah. I think tight clothing turns invisible with you.
Okay, so like a morph suit?
Yeah. It has to be like skin tight. Let's say it's like when you turn invisible... It's like a centimeter off of your skin or something.
Oh, a centimeter is a lot.
Sorry, no, like a millimeter. A few millimeters off your skin.
Okay.
Just because I don't think it should be that you have to be naked to be invisible.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can just do it at any time you want.
Okay, and here's my question.
Yes.
It's a conscious effort to become invisible, right?
Yes, yeah.
So the first thing that came into my mind is babies. Being invisible.
Oh, yeah. When a baby first discovers invisibility, it is terrifying for the parents.
It's terrifying for the parents, but also, you can smell the dirty diaper, but you cannot see the dirty diaper.
Where's the baby?
I mean, maybe you could see part of the diaper, depending how far it is away from the skin.
Where's the baby?
Maybe they just make really bulky diapers.
So
which
just,
also means that there are now
diaper running
yeah,
around.
Floating diapers. And the thing is, their poo is not invisible.
So you're looking, oh, no, it's a diaper and a poo running around.
Yeah, it's just a diaper and a poo running around. This is the first thing that comes into my mind, Kevin.
Where's little Jillian? Ah, there she is.
There she is.
That poo diaper running around.
Somebody needs changing.
But... I don't know. I'm not home. Turn invisible. I guess my husband's going to have to do it.
Except he can turn invisible too.
It's just everybody sitting silently in the house being like, someone else is going to deal with it.
Okay. Oh,
someone else
sorry.
Is going to deal with it.
Oh, what's our punishment for leaving our phones on?
Oh, man.
We never came up with that. Looks like I'm off the hook.
Our punishment is that you have to think of the punishment for next time it happens.
Oh, okay. For next time it happens, I have to think of a punishment.
Yeah, that's the punishment?
Sure.
You have to think.
Ah!
So it's just everybody sitting in a house just silently being like, Now no one make any sort of noises. So they don't know I'm here, and I won't have to change the poopy diaper.
Yeah.
And then that baby just gets full of poop.
Yeah, okay, so it said probably by that point people have developed some sort of way of detecting invisible people.
Well, cameras become a lot less useful as security options.
Unless they're infrared.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you want to have heat ones and infrared ones.
Yeah.
Ones that don't require the visible spectrum.
Yeah.
Because people are still there. I also don't think they set off motion sensors.
Well, the question is, this is one of the questions I was going to ask you, actually. Is this just excellent camouflage, so there's still an object there, or does light and mass pass through?
I'm going to say that it is light and mass pass through them.
Okay, so you're invisible and intangible.
Okay, sorry, not mass. I think light bends around them. I think they bend light.
Okay, and is it a perfect bend, or is it like refraction? Because if it was a motion sensor,
yeah,
and if it was a perfect bend, it would not set off the motion sensor.
Yeah.
Right? Because the light beam would be unbroken. But if it is like refraction, it would set off the motion sensor.
But I think it has to be a bent light for it to be invisible. Invisibility.
Okay, so it's like a perfect bend.
Yeah, it's just like you're seeing past them, essentially.
So motion sensors, no.
Yeah.
But a weight detector, yes.
Yeah, so there's just weight detectors everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, what sort of things would people like? Number one, if humans could turn invisible, they would become incredible hunters.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the very beginning, it gives you a distinct advantage not only as a hunter, but also as prey.
That's true. Yeah,
it's much easier to hide.
Yeah.
That being said,
so being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, something you're like, hoo! But it smells you.
Yeah, it will still smell you.
It smells your poopy diaper.
And if you're bleeding...
Because you've never been changed.
Yeah, you've never changed.
In your life.
Hello, infection.
Ah, all the poopy diapers.
Yeah. Yes, Kevin. So like that being said, it does not make you invincible, especially when there are animals that have such good other senses.
Yeah.
You'd be safe against birds.
Also, you want to be careful, because if you turn invisible and then, like, a mammoth steps on you...
Yeah. Exactly. Can't see you.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
got to watch both ways.
Hazards of
being
invisible.
Well, I got to look both ways before you cross the path.
Yeah, you can't cross that road just looking down at your phone.
It could be a... and invisible.
Yeah.
Why would you just walk around... I have a question. Would people just walk around invisible?
Well, I guess the question is this. Is default the... Like, what's the default state? Visible or invisible?
Visible. Yeah.
You can turn
invisible, not that you can turn visible.
Does staying invisible require a concentrated effort?
I don't think it's like a...
Is there like a limit on how long somebody can be invisible?
I don't think it takes a concentrated effort like, you know, you're lifting weights. But it takes a concentrated effort like standing.
Okay.
Like, if you just...
You have to be thinking about doing it.
If you just stopped, you would drop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so you have to be aware, like, I want to be invisible, and you sort of, like, keep it up. And you can forget about it, kind of, be like, oh, I forgot I was invisible.
Yeah.
But if you totally, like, zone out, you will just turn back to being, like...
You know what game is a lot more hardcore now?
Hide and seek?
Yes.
You just got a 10-foot pole and just swinging it over around places.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe a 10-foot...
Maybe you don't bludgeon people with a 10-foot long pole.
10-foot foam pole.
Foam pole.
Like one of those pool noodles.
Like a 10-foot long pool noodle.
You got a 10-foot long pool noodle and you're just swinging it about being
That's a lot of erectile dysfunction jokes. That's a lot of erectile dysfunction jokes.
Well, maybe hide and seek will be a lot more like Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see it like that.
Yeah. So the seeker has to stay visible.
Yeah.
And all the hiders are invisible and can do whatever they want. But they can do the Marco Polo thing. So they can try to like echolocate you down.
But the thing about hide and seek is you don't move places. So, you know, it'd be an even better game in this world.
Okay.
Kick the can.
Okay. Now I did not realize Kick a Can was an actual game. That's just a thing you do with Kick a Can.
It is. So the way Kick the Can works,
Jeremy,
Kevin,
explain to me Kick the Can
in
an old-timey voice.
All right. The way the Kick the Can works, Kevin, is this. First, someone is guarding the can. That person is it. Second, there are a group of other people, all working independently but on a team. They hide For if the person who is it finds them, they can tag them and they are out of the game. But if the person guarding the can strays too far from the can, then one of the hiders can come and kick the can, thus securing victory for the opposite team.
And the allies. So kick the can is really just kind of like...
Here's the thing. You have to be visible when you kick that can.
Okay, yeah. So maybe there's like a ring, essentially, that they put on the ground around it. Then yeah. Once you cross that line,
you have to turn visible.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you cheating, son. There are dire consequences.
For the war effort. I like the idea that how kick the can works is so there's a can in the middle.
Yeah.
There's a ring around it.
Yeah.
And it's everybody standing in that ring, just sort of like moving side to side every so often. And the seeker being like, are they at the ring?
Are they here?
Are they leave?
Here's the thing.
Scrape on the ground. They're like, oh, there's someone over there.
You don't want to, generally, in
swing around a pool
in our world without invisibility, you don't want to hide close to the can. You want to hide far from the can so that they have to go and find people.
Because all they have to do is, even because they're invisible, like, you can still touch you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're out.
And
Germany
and
has
also
won.
They only, like, it's interesting because the only way the hiders can win is by getting to the can.
Yep.
And the only way the seeker can win is by finding all the hiders, right? Yeah. So that makes them leave, but the seekers are trying to get there. It's an interesting dynamic.
Thanks for describing the dynamics of kick the can.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's very important.
It's like capture the flag.
Kind of.
Capture the flag would also be
fun. Except you don't got to get back.
Here's the thing.
The flag would just be floating.
I think capture the flag, you are allowed to stay invisible the whole time. Because once
you got the flag.
Yeah.
Once you got the flag, you're visible anyways.
But sometimes you want to turn visible to try to lure people away.
Yeah.
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 So essentially, invisibility would be very, very fun for like... You know what? As a 25-year-old, I'd be invisible the entire time.
Yeah.
I was saying that, like, if as a 25-year-old, I would love playing invisible, kick the can, or capture the flag.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's your entire life, it's just as...
It's just a normal kids game.
Normal kids game.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about how we think people would develop differently? That seems to be a common thread through all these.
Yeah. How would people develop differently if they could turn invisible at any time they want? The thing is that... There's still times where you want to be visible. Like, I think it's rude to talk to someone while invisible.
Yeah,
like, definitely. Because you can't make eye contact with them. It's a basic...
I think also you wouldn't want to have as much skin-tight fashion.
Oh, because it will... As much?
Well, I think because people can turn invisible and take clothes with them in their invisibility, if you're wearing, like, skin-tight clothing, it means that you're planning on becoming invisible. It's like walking around with a black ski mask over your head.
People know what you're going to do.
Right.
Yeah. Or it's very cold.
Yeah. You generally don't put it all the way over your head.
I am very cold, but not on my lips or my eyes. One thing I was thinking is that, like, I've seen people who wear, like, tight shirts and, like, those baggy pants. The ones that, like... have the giant crotch, like the shishi.
Oh, yeah.
I know
what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, those ones. So when they turn invisible, is it just like their upper body and just pants dancing everywhere?
Yeah.
Because I'd watch that music video.
I mean, people would do cool visual effects with it, for sure.
Yeah.
But again, it's a normal thing in this world. So I'm thinking society, like, in a society.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably a dress code, like there is in our society.
Yeah.
Where if you're serious shit, you wear a suit.
Yeah.
Or... other business wear.
So you're saying that instead of like the idea that the young hoods wear baggy clothing, they're wearing like
skin tight spandex body suits.
Oh man, those kids are up to no good. Look how tight those pants are.
I can see everything.
And soon nothing.
Yeah.
That's the sound when you turn invisible.
I think it also kind of makes humans like the alpha predator.
Oh, no, we are.
More than anything else we've ever discussed, I think it does.
Yeah, because you can't see us coming.
Yeah.
You have the intelligence to, like, set traps and do all those
things. Make tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we would destroy every animal population.
Except for one. Sharks. Because being invisible doesn't help you if you're in water.
No. I mean, like, the other ones can still smell you.
Yeah.
But people have been hunting the animals who can smell you being seen.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine how good they'll do when you can't be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Except for with sharks.
So I think what happens is there are a lot more extinct species.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not a lot more. We've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, but I think, like, I want, like, because at a certain point, we have reached the stage now as, you know, humans, that we can pretty much, maybe not on an individual basis, but, like, with, as a society, we can pretty much kill anything we want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing is outside of our death touch.
What if, though, because humans,
yeah,
maybe not in their current form, but have been around for thousands of years.
Yes.
And they were developed in a period where evolution was moving at a very quick pace.
Yeah.
As far as evolution goes.
Yes.
Would there be animals that develop the ability to detect invisible things?
Yes, because I think there already are animals that can
bats that can, would be fine.
That can detect, like, changes in air pressure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just think that, like, that if we want to talk about how evolution could work,
yeah,
the animals that are better at dealing with things they can't see would become stronger.
They would have an advantage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we would be so used to animals that can't see us.
Yeah. So bears, probably not as successful in this world, but snakes?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Snakes hecka successful.
Yeah, because you can't even see them. They're on the ground.
Yeah.
They come out and they get you.
And they can sense, like, differences in air pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and can they sense tremors in the ground, or am I making that up?
I think some snakes can. Excellent. By the way, I had a nightmare.
Yeah.
A couple days ago about a hitman who was chasing me. Okay. And I was hiding in an abandoned warehouse, like you do.
Yeah.
And he walked in and I could see him, and he looked around, and then a snake tongue flicked out of his mouth, and I was like, he can smell me.
He's smelling me with his mouth. Oh, no.
So that was terrifying.
Snake hitman.
Real thing in this world.
I like how in universes like the one you described, there's no warehouses. They're all abandoned.
Yeah.
No one ever uses a warehouse.
No. They don't need storage anymore.
No, but they keep things in there.
Ever since they flipped the action switch.
All right.
Okay, so different types of predators.
Yes, would I be so more successful?
The biodome of the Earth is actually quite a bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And as, like, humanity, I think we would create society in a very similar way. Like, there's no reason to change. Like the world you look at right now, you look out the window, I think if everybody could also turn invisible, I don't think it would look that different.
I think
there would be less people on the street.
People would have less blinds.
No.
Why do you have blinds, Kevin? So people can't see you when you're walking around your house naked.
I suppose, but sometimes you also want to, like, block light.
Why would you ever want to do that? Are you a vampire, Kevin?
Well, I mean, sometimes you're on a computer and you want to block the lights.
That's true. You want to stop the glare.
Yes, but I think that people will still have blinds. But, well, because hey. In your, why should you have to turn invisible in your own house? This is your own damn house.
That's true.
Yeah. You should be able to
relax and relax.
Yeah. You don't have to think.
Just let it all hang out.
You know how when you flop down, you're just, like, lying down a couch and you're, like, you know, spread out. You're like, oh, this is so great. That's the same thing with invisibility.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
When you turn visible after being invisible for a long time, it's like sitting down after a long day.
It's like finally being able to put down your backpack you've been carrying all day.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. Like, you could...
It's like taking a really big dump.
Now, do you think people would take invisible dumps so it's just, like, poop appearing? I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this line of questioning.
I think some people might in public curiosity. Restrooms. Well, in public restrooms, because people get anxious, right?
Yeah.
So you could turn invisible if that helped you, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be a thing that people did all the time, unless you're a baby.
Yeah.
Actually, babies probably would never be invisible. They'd figure it out. There'd be like a month where they're invisible all the fucking time, and then they'd be like, okay, I know how to do that.
Do you think a baby goes like, you know, when they're learning to walk, do they learn to go invisible?
Yeah.
And when babies learn to walk, they'll start like walking random places. So babies, there will be a stage in raising a baby, and it'll be in like the baby books.
Yeah, all of them. It'll be like, it'll when be like, your baby goes invisible.
Don't panic.
Just make sure you put your baby bell on your baby.
Yeah, when a baby turns about like 2 or 3, you gotta put a baby bell on them.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna turn invisible.
They're gonna turn invisible, so you put the baby bell on them.
I presume they get
the tracking sensor around their ankle.
I presume they turn invisible before they can walk.
Well, if that's the case, then you should probably start doing that when they're one.
No, I guess fair enough.
Because some babies learn how to walk very quickly.
Yeah. I think the reason I think that is because walking takes balance and coordination, like all those things. Well, invisibility just sort of takes like effort.
Invisibility.
Yeah. Invisibility.
Yeah.
You use your invisible organ.
Although the thing is, like, there's the development of children is so broad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have 3 nieces.
Yeah.
The first one, classic, on the stomach, to crawl, to walking.
Yeah.
The second one went from on stomach to sitting to butt scooching everywhere to walking.
Okay.
The third one just started walking.
just popped out of the womb and was like, thank you, mother.
No.
And then popped on a hat and went off to work.
No, did not put a bowler hat on.
a chip chip cheerio.
No, but like never went through the stage of crawling.
So it was just lying there and just like, no. I will only move when I can do it the way that I see everyone else do it.
I mean,
baby's a perfectionist.
She moved. She moved around, right? But it was like rolling.
Okay, no, wait. You buried the lead there. So she rolled like a log.
Yeah.
Come here, little baby.
It wasn't fast rolling. It was like, I can move a foot or two doing this way.
Just on the back.
And then one day she just stood up and started walking.
All right, I'm done with this. My feet.
This seems like an inefficient way to move.
God. Do you think it's possible that, like, like popping out in the delivery room would be like, oh, where's the baby? Oh, we got an invisible baby. Just the umbilical cord going to nothing?
I don't think so. Because here's the thing. At that point, well, what here's if you, my question. What if here's you, my question.
Yeah.
Is going invisible instinctual at all? Is it something you purely learn to do, right? Like, well, walking, or is it instinctual like crying?
I think it's part of the fight or flight instinct.
Okay, so it is instinctual. It's, in that case, a baby can do it right away, and it just depends on how they're feeling.
It's fight, flight, or hide.
Yeah, fight, flight, or hide.
Yeah, that's the way it works. So a baby can just like turn invisible whenever it wants. Yeah. You have to deal with this. Maybe that baby will just decide to go invisible.
Basically, what happens is baby comes out of the parent.
Yeah.
Maybe they're invisible. Maybe they're not.
Yeah.
Right? But you know where the baby is because there's an umbilical cord.
Yeah.
Unless the mom decides to go invisible, then you're fucked.
In which case, no one.
In which case, you're fucked. but no, baby comes out.
Yeah.
Right? They clean it off with a towel.
Yeah.
They swaddle it.
Yeah.
Attach a baby bell and give it to the mom.
Just like around the arm, yeah.
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 then all you hear in the maternity ward is ding, 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 ding.
I like how they're like big, like klaxon bells. Ka-kung, ka-kung, ka-kung. Oh, looks like another baby has been born, Beatrice.
Ring the baby bell. Well, that's to warn everyone that the baby's been born, so watch where you're stepping.
Watch where you're stepping. There's an invisible baby somewhere.
Everybody just has, like, very smooth bottom shoes and just sliding everywhere. Don't step on a baby, but you can maybe kick a baby.
Don't kick a baby.
It is.
What is the name of our last episode, Kevin?
No.
Don't punch a baby.
It's don't chop a baby.
Right.
And also, Jeremy, it's better than stepping on a baby.
It's true. It is better than stepping on a baby.
Yeah. Come on, you gotta be. These babies are invisible.
Those stair gates are really important too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
no.
You can't even see the baby coming up to it anymore.
When you're baby proofing your house, you are locking it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that baby, you always know where that baby is. You probably have like infrared
DEFCON 5.
You have like infrared cameras up all over the place.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
No, it's a...
You have a pair of infrared glasses on your head when you're walking around your house because...
Flip them down.
If they're just like cats. You'll trip over them if you can't see them.
Man, can you imagine back in like the Victorian era before they had these? Yeah, no, they would just have like a servant just always hold the baby.
Yep. Where's or the baby on leash.
Oh, the way the baby...
Before the baby bell, the baby leash. People don't like to call it leash anymore, so now they call it a tether, but it's a leash.
Yeah. Wait, you lose the baby, and you're just holding nothing? And like, how's the baby doing? Good?
Great.
Baby's doing great. Dude, it's like... Look at that.
It must be sleeping, because it's not making any noise.
Yeah. But it's invisible. It must be an invisible prodigy baby. I got a baby... Baby right here. Baby right here.
You don't have the baby, do you?
Oh, my God. No. No, I don't. Just drop your arms.
Everybody panic.
That's like... Oh, man. The movie Baby's Day Out would be a lot more interesting.
Also Baby Geniuses.
Baby Geniuses. What other movies have babies in them? Babysitter's Club? Not really babies in Babysitter's Club.
I mean, the Incredibles baby is a lot less special now.
Well...
One of the things it does is turn invisible.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, one of the things about any of these superpower things is that it makes movies, that one thing, not as interesting. Everyone can turn invisible.
Yeah.
Action movies have moments where someone turns invisible. It goes revisible.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no, wait, definitely, if you're holding a gun in your hand, the guns are visible.
Right. So there'd be scenes in, like, sword fighting movies where there's just two floating swords. But here's the thing. It's actually useful to turn invisible.
Yeah.
Because so much of the body is what's...
allowing
somebody to predict what you're doing.
Then maybe at one point you actually leave and put like the sword on like two strings as like a marionette.
That would be in a spoof movie.
I was swinging like, how did I not hit you? I thought you were there. No, I was behind you the whole time. Magic. Would magicians still be cool?
No.
I mean, visibility isn't a huge part of a magician's bit.
It's true, actually. It's visibility.
So they would be cool.
They'd be the same.
They would be cool. Now, I think it should be worth mentioning that this is also a world full of people who can easily commit crimes.
So, yeah, well, I think here's the thing. They can easily commit crimes until we basically get the ability to monitor infrared.
Yes, that's what I mean. I think... there would be a bigger push into, like, infrared.
Or Kevin, more booby traps. Booby traps.
Okay, so you're, like, walking in the 7-Eleven, and the owner's like, hey, take a Y-step around that. I forgot to turn off the pit trap this morning.
Yeah, no, booby traps. Booby traps for sure.
Okay, so what I was going to say, like, there's just a room full of just strings, so you can't walk through them. It's kind of like that, except for some of those strings set off, like, a swinging log.
Yeah, or cages. Or maybe it just shoots manacles at you.
Just a net gun
to
take you down.
Yeah.
So every 7-Eleven, every...
Well, not anymore.
Every bank.
Not anymore.
But, yeah. But look, sometimes you go into, like, old places and you can... And, like, they still have their old setup, the old security. Because infrared's pretty difficult. But, so you go into, like, this bank has been around since... 1903, and we still have the original cage that falls on you if you try to rob from us invisibly.
Yep.
No, don't set it off.
Don't do it. I mean, there's probably also, like, something that's, like, glue and feathers.
Yeah, I'm oh, just like, flour?
Yeah. I mean, the flour, when it's on their skin, will turn invisible, which is why you need feathers.
Oh, yes, I mean, that won't get as close.
Yeah.
But you get that incident where you see them, like, you'll see their outline as
burlap on people.
It's a good thing that all these booby traps are non-lethal, because that would be aggressive. It was like dart guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all non-lethal. No, yeah,
all
no
non-lethal.
One...
They want to capture so they can punish.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Punish
people
them.
Loved a good punishment, Kevin. Some people still do. They're called Americans.
So you wouldn't just, like, walk into, like, a bank in the Old West and there's just a trap that's just, like, I don't know.
No, but here's the other thing.
Arrows fire at you.
All that – in that time where there were lots of booby traps and stuff,
yeah,
people would do it naked because we didn't get super tight clothing until, like, the 1950s.
No, you'd be naked.
You'd be naked.
People would be naked for a long
time.
You'd
be naked.
Because once you – Because until like
so crime would go way down in the winter.
And, yeah, way down. Times, yeah, you ain't gonna do that. So yeah. Someone invents like spandex.
Yeah, until somebody invents wetsuits.
Specifically wetsuits.
Well, they're very good insulatory clothing.
All right. So until someone invents wetsuits, because you can't do it in that old like diving suit.
No, you can't.
Turn invisible in there. So
I mean, you could. Oh, that's how they would do like ghost effects. People in something but invisible.
Yeah, and everyone would be like, well, I mean, I know how this is done, but it still looks cool.
It still looks cool.
Ghosts.
Still spooky. Ghosts. Psychologically.
I wonder if people would believe in ghosts because it's so clear that, like, oh, it could just be an invisible person.
I think people would believe in ghosts more.
Okay.
Because there would be some invisible people that could trick people into believing into ghosts, which they would do.
Yeah, all right.
And secondly, because invisibility is a phenomenon,
yeah.
Why couldn't intangibility be one? Right? I think it becomes a little bit more plausible.
Okay. I can see that. I think?
Maybe. No, you can't. It's invisible. Either that or the idea of ghosts would change.
Well, because ghosts
would be less invisible and more corporeal, I think.
Okay, yeah. So right? It'd be more about apparitions and
yeah.
things, and less of poltergeists.
Exactly.
Because poltergeist is just a person.
Yeah.
Poltergeist is a person.
Poltergeist is a noisy person.
The movie.
Rude, noisy person.
Hey, shut up, Greg. Now I'm poltergeisting.
Ooh. Back, foul apparition. Back, I say.
Greg, go back to your wife. She misses you. Ooh. She took the kids. Look, people still go through real problems. It's an invisible world. People still go through real problems.
They still go through real problems. Especially yeah. Greg.
Especially Greg. Oh, Greg. You can turn invisible, but you can't turn invisible from your feelings.
No. You can hide from me, but you can't hide from your heart.
Now go home, Greg.
Now go home.
I'm going to make pizza pops.
Pizza pops.
All right. Do you want to go to commercial?
Yeah. Well, is there anything else we think we need to say about this? This is the last chance.
Yeah. Let's wrap up this world.
So Apex Predators. Different biodome.
Yep. The society itself, the basic, will be pretty much the same. Like, you don't have to build buildings or anything like that. Infrared technology would be much more of a priority.
Yep.
Because cameras are essentially useless.
Before that, you have booby traps.
Yeah, booby traps.
And crime is naked.
Yeah. And children's games are
cooler.
Cooler.
I mean, they're cooler to us.
Yeah, they're cooler from the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
From an outside perspective.
Cool. All right, let's get a commercial.
Okay, one more thing.
I said it twice. We've never done this before.
Fight,
yeah.
Flight, or hide.
Fight, or hide, yes. Yeah, yeah, those are the instincts.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's go to commercial.
All right.
This week's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by Edgar Allan Poe.
Now, he gave us copy, but it is very, very long and very, very dark.
Yeah, very fluid.
Yeah.
See, it appears to be written in his poetic form.
Yeah, it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's beautiful, but it'll take us quite a while to get through it.
I don't think we have enough time in the commercial. So instead, I'm just gonna plug some of his stuff.
All right. Yeah.
There's the Telltale Heart.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
There's the Nevermore poem.
Yeah, yeah. There's a movie based on him called The Raven with John Cusack in it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah. So. Brought to you by Edgar Allan Poe.
And the movie The Raven, where he solved crimes.
Great.
All right, so that was a world with invisibility.
Yes.
Jeremy, what is your superpower?
Well, I was a fool and didn't come up with one.
We talked for half an hour.
I know. We talked for half an hour. So what I am going to choose for my superpower,
pull it out. You can do it.
I'm going to pull it out. Of an orifice.
Look around the world. Look around the room. Look into your heart.
Okay, you know what? This one's a pretty standard.
All right.
Energy projection.
Okay, so like hand blasts?
Yeah.
Okay, what is this energy that they're projecting?
Okay, so I think...
Like, what superhero are you basing it on?
Think like... Think like Cyclops.
Okay.
Right. He fires a giant kinetic beam.
I just want to mention one thing about Cyclops.
Yeah.
There's a version of him, I think, where his eyes are actually portals to another dimension.
That is normal Cyclops.
Normal Cyclops. So his eyes are portals to other dimensions.
Yes. But that's not what I want to do here. Okay. I just, like, the blasting type thing, like Iceman blasts ice from his hands, ice. Right? So energy projection.
Okay.
And I don't want to narrow it down to be like, oh, people can shoot fire or people can shoot lightning. But I do think each person can only shoot one of those things.
Well, there's like he was one of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Nova.
Like the original ones?
Nova.
Oh, Nova. Yeah.
Yeah, Nova has energy projection.
He does.
He projects the general idea.
The Nova Force.
Yeah, he projects the general idea of energy.
Yeah.
Which does energy things.
Right. But what I'm saying is that people can project energy, but energy can come in an elemental form.
Okay.
Or just in a very standard form. You could be shooting some photons. I think that that is a genetic thing that runs in families.
Okay.
And when it mixes, you don't know what necessarily you're going to get.
Okay. So people can shoot energy.
Yeah.
Now, let's take this in the broadest sense possible, that people can shoot energy.
Yeah.
Any kinds of energy. So that could be heat energy, which is both fire and ice.
Right. But you probably have a predisposition to doing fire or ice.
Yeah. There is kinetic energy, which
kinetic.
Is the Cyclops, that's just a hard beam.
Right. Except it wouldn't be red. It would be invisible.
Yeah. It'd be force.
Yeah. There's electrical.
Yeah. Lightning.
Yeah. Okay. There's nuclear.
No. Wait, no. When you say nuclear, do you mean like the explosive potential nuclear, or do you mean the?
I mean atomic energy.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
There's radiation.
There's radiation.
So you guys give people cancer.
Yep. There's strong nuclear force and weak nuclear force, and gravity.
Yeah, that's true. There's one form of energy that I always thought was the funniest, which is potential energy. Can you shoot potential energy?
No, you can't.
Does that just make other people stronger?
But maybe you could shoot chemical energy.
Oh, well, it was chemical energy.
Acid?
That's not an energy. That's a
thing.
That's a liquid.
You're
a
right. Yeah, okay, you couldn't shoot chemical energy.
I think you can shoot potential energy. It just makes other people stronger because it raises their potential.
No, because potential energy is like you go up a ramp, Kevin. You go up a ramp and your potential energy is higher because you can now go down that ramp.
So you go around and you're just shooting babies.
I guess.
You're going to be super smart.
You know what that is? You know what that is?
What?
It would be energy transfer.
Okay.
Which is a different thing.
How is that energy?
Okay,
transfer?
So potential energy is when you expend energy to increase the potential energy of something else.
Yes.
So the example I gave while you were talking about stuff is going up a ramp.
Shooting babies.
When you're at the top of a ramp, you have more potential energy because you can go down the ramp and gain energy.
Yeah, it's a very, like, weird...
It is. It's a weird physics thing.
It's not really a... real energy, but it kind of is.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's basically what you use when you say, if somebody did fall from this height, this is how much energy they would produce. Yeah.
So you disagree with someone being able to shoot projectiles.
You can't, because the reason why it's different is you could take some of your energy and give it to somebody else, but that is not projecting the energy.
Okay.
That is energy transfer, different thing.
Okay, so you can't project potential energy.
No, you can't.
That seems less fun. Now, one thing we should mention is that you have just created a fantasy novel style world of people with magic powers, just launch them off.
It's not magic, it's biological. Which means, Kevin, that it is a thing directly connected with effort and ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
So you can train to be a better flamethrower?
You can. You can.
Yeah. No, it's not flames, though. It's heat.
It's heat.
It's literally you are shooting heat.
You are a heat gun.
Yeah.
Or a freeze ray.
Well, because it's not like, you know, Captain Cold does it, where he shoots like an ice beam, which is like snow and back.
You are just...
You are shooting cold at someone.
You're shooting cold at somebody.
You are being endothermic.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't light things on fire as fire, but you can increase the heat on them.
Yeah, you could, like, if you take a heat gun,
yes,
and you put it to a piece of paper,
yeah,
and you just aim it at the piece of paper, eventually that piece of paper will light on fire.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing.
Yeah, so it's not like Firestorm or any of those guys who are actually shooting out fire.
No. It's not that cool.
Well, is any of his energy visible? I don't think any of it is.
I think the electrical energy is.
Okay, the electrical energy is visible.
Yeah.
Because at that point...
Because it's blinding.
Because you're shooting lightning at people.
Yeah. You could also shoot light, though.
Oh, right. Light energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a flashlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, you have this group of people that are, I guess, more adept at handling physical problems because they can shoot cold or shoot heat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or they can shoot electricity.
Yeah. Those are the fighters.
Right. And then you have this group of people who are like utility people.
Yeah.
Who, I guess, magnetic?
Is that...
Magnetic is kind of energy.
It's a field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could probably project a magnetic field.
You know what I love, Jeremy? I love when we do topics that somewhere out there is someone who just like knows way no more about the specific science.
Yeah.
But... the general population doesn't, so we can just say whatever we want.
We can. And only one person will be upset. We just have to hope that
one person doesn't hear our bullshit.
Yeah. Don't hear our bullshit. So magnetic, I think, is more utility. Light is more utility.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are fucking monstrous people who can shoot cosmic radiation.
All right. Yeah, there's that. There's ultraviolet.
Yep.
Yeah. You can give you a suntans.
You can... give people cancer.
That's also what radiation guy can do.
Yep.
So cancer is a lot more prevalent. Hey, lasers are energy.
Lasers are energy.
There's extremely focused light.
Yep.
So the light guy, maybe not by himself, maybe with enough training,
yeah,
could shoot a laser out of his finger.
Could do that.
And you all laughed because I was light guy. I was a flashlight, and now I'm laser fingers. Slicing buildings apart.
Here's the thing I was going to get to. I think the strength is sort of relative. I'm going to keep on using the hot cold.
Okay.
For this is that, like, I think if you hit somebody for 30 seconds with your heat wave,
yeah,
their clothing probably is going to light on fire. You can give somebody a really bad burn.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Same with cold. If you hit somebody with your cold for 30 seconds, they get bad frostbite.
Yeah.
Right?
Red and black, yeah.
Like for electrical power, you can project electricity, but it's not like you can hurl lightning bolts hundreds of meters.
Well, the thing with electricity is that then you get into things like amperages and voltage.
Exactly.
And
you don't have a crazy amount of power.
But is that based on you as a person?
Yeah, that's why training,
yeah,
if there's a specific way of training, could increase that.
I wonder if... Okay, so... Would like larger people, and I mean larger as in like fatter people, mm-hmm, be better at the heat beams because they can put off more heat?
I don't think so. I think it has to do with some level of fitness.
Okay.
I think there would have to be some sort of organ or muscle that helped you do this.
I'm just thinking because there are certain people who are like, who just put off a lot of heat.
I think healthier people would be more adept.
Now there's the common joke of the women who have bad, like, who are like, oh, whose hands are always cold. Are they really good at the cold beams because they have the poor circulation?
Maybe. I mean, there'd be a certain amount of genetic affinity, right?
Yeah.
But
I like the idea that like something about the person kind of affects it.
Yeah.
Like did you know that people like who have miso skin pigment, with the red hair, are less susceptible to electric shocks, or more susceptible. One of the things, we're either more or less susceptible to electric shocks.
Yeah, you told me that before.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were trying to convince me you were a superhero.
No, Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
No, trust me, not superhero. Pokemon.
You're a Pokemon?
I was a Pokemon.
You're a Pokemon, Kevin.
Because I'm less resistant to electricity, but more resistant to changes in temperature?
And apparently punches to your leg.
Or it's the other way around. No, so I like to do that, like, individual things about people can sort of change how this works. Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe larger people are better at the gravity. Because
maybe
gravity has more effect over them. I don't know. Like, modicum. A modicum.
Here's the thing. Mass. Once again, like, you don't have enough power to slice a building in half with your laser fingers.
Maybe right? You don't, but laser fingers does.
No, he doesn't. That's a stupid amount of power. It
lasers on my fingers.
Shut up, Greg.
Greg is the only constant in these worlds. This one is blue and this one is green. Laser fingers.
I mean, with light, you could probably light up a dark cave.
It's a flashlight.
Right?
Yeah, it's a flashlight.
Well, you could just do ambient.
Or you do a lantern, yeah.
But I want to be very clear. This is not like you cannot murder a bear in a second. Like, that doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, you won't want to use cold against a bear. They're used to that. You want to use hot against a bear. Or electricity. Or atomic.
Atomic power.
If you want to atomic power that bear.
Anyways, what I think this would do, Kevin.
Yeah.
Is I think because it's a genetic inheritance thing.
Yeah.
There would be variations, but I think this would be very tribal.
Okay, so a lot more of like pure bloodlines being a big thing again, like they were back in, you know, the old England times when they're like in my blood.
Medieval era,
yeah. Except for
my blood is the blood of gods.
Except for, you know, actually means something.
Yeah, it would mean something.
Yeah,
I also think that probably after it stopped being tribal and it became more of that medieval kingdom thing. The people who are at the top of that are the people who can shoot atomic power.
Because all they do is just detonate towns.
No, it's the thing is atomic power is just atoms turning into energy.
Yeah.
Right? So they would hold something in their hand and turn it into energy.
Okay.
So, like, it would just explode them, I guess. Well, they're not more durable.
But no, that's,
so I guess it's not that great anyway.
You said it was projection.
Oh, you're right. It is projection. So they can shoot.
Which means they can blow up the atoms along a line.
Yeah.
And then expand out at the end.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not things you touch. It's projection.
It is. You're right.
And the way that it always works in all these comic book things is they're actually shooting them out.
Yeah.
I agree that we're adding in the science of them being like they're invisible pretty much. But, like, if you can shoot out atomic energy, then you're just blowing up towns.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, no, it's very, very important that you appease our atomic gods.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, there's that person that can just shoot pure radiation or ultraviolet light and just, like, kills people with cancer.
Yeah, eventually. I like the idea that, like, well, it's the sort of thing. There's an idea in gaming now that a lot of games have a lot of characters in them.
Yeah.
And if you make everybody overpowered, then the power level is fine.
Yeah.
So that's not everybody's overpowered, but like you got an atomic guy. You also have another atomic guy who's maybe nicer. Then you have a radiation guy who'll like sneak into the court and just like stare at him and pound radiation into him.
Yep.
And like, what are you going to do?
The court jester who can shoot ultraviolet rays.
Slowly killing the king.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there you go. Yeah, you just everyone's sort of giving a balance to everyone else.
Yeah, it's checks and balances.
And also, that means that if one person is like a good guy and is like, that king is evil, and blow up his castle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or just blow up one brick in the castle.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I mean, one brick is a huge amount of, like, explosion.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Like, that's the thing. Like, again, you cannot do this miles away, and you cannot do an entire castle. You would do, like, a small portion of a brick. It's just that that is a super amount of energy.
Yeah, you just split an atom on someone's hair, and they're...
Okay, so we said people can project light.
Yeah.
Can they project radio?
Okay. It is a form of energy.
I think so.
I mean, it's waves. It's radio waves.
It's radio waves.
Sure, yeah. Why not? Why not? It wouldn't be useful for some time until people figure out how to use it.
I mean, if you can send out radio waves.
Yeah.
Right? I think once people observe the phenomenon,
yeah,
it would be great for long-form communication.
Yeah. Could you still send out cellular energy as well?
I mean, that's just that's the same as radio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's just a different frequency.
Yeah. Okay. So you have people who are just like, they're the ones who communicate. There's like each town has one radio guy.
Yeah.
And they send messages to each other.
Yeah. And then at one point, people capture a bunch of these radio people and make them provide Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi is just a bunch of people in a room just like eating sandwiches.
Yep.
Just being like, hey, how you doing today? Eating a sandwich. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
But like, good. Here's the thing. That person with the radio power probably has the ability to shoot their energy further than almost anybody else.
Yeah, radio can go pretty far.
Right?
Yeah, I can travel pretty far.
Yeah.
They can also just like interrupt each other as well. So you have radio jammers.
Radio jammers.
So in wartime,
so cool.
But the thing
you have the person who runs out and is like, I've got to get this message. And then you have another person who's like, I've got to shoot their message down.
I like the fact about this world is that technology will not advance because every technology is people.
Yeah. Well, there'd still probably be locomotion.
But everyone's like based around people.
Yeah.
Like you want to have electrical energy. You have a power plant that where people who have electrical like powers work.
Yep.
You want almost
you want someone or even, to run your train.
Or even
you have somebody who can shoot heat.
Yeah.
Into water.
Yeah.
So that it creates steam and turns
steam powered.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they eventually figure out when they eventually do atomic energy.
Yeah.
The person who does atomic energy, that's actually because what makes atomic energy dangerous is not actually the atomic energy. It's the runoff from it.
Yeah.
There's no runoff from it other than that man has to every so often use a bathroom.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's easy to deal with.
Yep.
Septic. All stuff like
so
that.
We're saying that there's lots of clean energy in this world.
There's a lot of clean energy. I mean, from anybody who can put energy into anything.
Yep.
And you don't even have to have it be centralized. You don't have to have a centralized, like...
No, thing. Every house could have its own battery.
Yeah. I mean, neighborhood.
Yeah, well, no, every home.
You can't guarantee a house is going to have an electricity person in it or an atomic person in it.
No, that's why you just have, like, we're saying that because it's energy.
Yeah.
Right? Anyone who can manipulate energy could, in fact, store some of that energy.
Except for cold. I don't think cold people can make energy.
Ice floats, right?
Yeah.
So what if you just have something like a reverse turbine and you're just freezing the ice to make turbine go backwards?
Hold on. You aren't creating ice, you're creating cold, so mm-hmm. you have to have water that you can freeze.
Yeah.
There's also water involved.
Yeah.
So you're saying that we'd find a way to use ice to...
Yeah, I mean, if people can project energy, they'd find some way to store power.
I mean, with gravity, you could create like a perpetual motion machine.
Yep.
I don't know too much about just what do they call it? There's like three kinds of energy. Four kinds of energy, and they're like greater energy and smaller energy and gravity and
greater nuclear force and weak nuclear force.
Strong nuclear force.
Strong nuclear force.
Yeah, strong force and weak force.
Yeah,
and I'm not entirely sure what those are.
Well, I think weak nuclear force holds atoms together.
Boy, I hope no one can project those. Well, no, but weak nuclear force holds atoms together. So you're projecting holding atoms together?
Yes.
So...
That's kind of just like magnetism. Well, I guess, no, you can fuse matter then. So you'd be a really good metallurgist.
I'm going to
assume... You'd be really good at creating brass.
I assume when you get into, like, the upper, like, levels of force.
Yeah.
Like, I assume this isn't a common, like... This is me making a guess that the higher levels, the more extreme, like, versions of things, the ones that are, like, essential, like, universe constants.
Yeah.
I'm going to imagine those aren't super common.
I don't know if they're super common or not, but I do think, like, that person who shoots atomic energy,
yeah,
the effort required for them to shoot a tiny bit of that is way more than a person who has to shoot radio waves.
So they do it and they sit down and go, oh.
Yeah, like it's exhausting. Oh. It's exhausting. That energy has to come from somewhere, right?
Okay, so it just comes out of your body.
Yeah.
Man, the amount that like those people have to eat.
Yeah, if they want to use their power, then yeah.
So it's like someone who's an atomic like energy guy who's like sending atomic energy out and making it for, you know, half of a country.
Yeah.
Is doing like the Rock's cheat day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Every single day. It's every like, day.
Every day.
Every day.
It's like when you see what Michael Phelps eats every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's stupid.
Yeah. He's just like chowing it down and launching out atomic energy to make clean energy for the masses.
Yeah. So okay, let's do a general history of this.
You could die if you overexert yourself.
Oh yeah, totally.
All right, yeah.
Totally. Let's do a general history of this world.
Okay.
So in the beginning,
just chaos everywhere.
Chaos, very tribal.
Oh my, yeah, no, it's this tribe is fine. This tribe using their atomic people and using their electricity people.
Yeah.
Atomic people really
there
are.
There are wastelands everywhere.
Yeah, no, it is a rough start for humanity.
Yeah. Eventually though,
yeah.
Kingdoms.
Yes. Eventually one person will be able to like one person who just has more atomic energy, or like they're lucky they're in a place where he could eat the food he needs to eat to
right?
Yeah.
Like or, you know, is just strategically brilliant like Genghis Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
So
kingdom starts sprouting
up. Kingdom starts sprouting up. Right? People are able to harness their powers to create energy. So there's a lot more clean energy.
I will say that I think I say like we're not going to advance in technology. I think what's going to happen is we're going to advance very, very quickly at the beginning.
Yeah.
But like there's a lot of things we won't have because we don't need.
Yeah.
Like but I think we're going to get like where we are now a lot earlier because you're able to create steam engines rather than steam engines coming out around in
the industrial area.
Industrial area, essentially.
Yeah.
As long as someone can figure it out.
Here's the thing. What I think what would happen is that there'd be a lot more back and forth, right? So there's a period in human history, in Western history anyways, called the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
And that's because we actually had a fair amount of technology and mathematics and everything.
Yeah.
But then, like, the civilization fell apart.
Yeah.
And so a bunch of those things were lost. They were rediscovered later on.
Yeah.
Right? So it would be this bungee back and forth type thing.
Do you think there'll be a lot more? Like, it won't be the Dark Ages. There'll be a lot more of those ones?
I don't know if they'd be as severe as the Dark Ages.
But small. It's like the boom and bust system.
Yeah, it'd be a boom and bust system of growth.
Okay.
Because you'd grow, and then the person who had the technology would get powerful.
Yeah.
Because of that. And then, you know, people would react to that and probably tear them down from their pedestal.
Yeah, right? They go in and cancer so them down.
It would be like up and then down, up and then down, and up and then down, and up and then down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we.
But in the end, you get a clean energy utopia.
Yeah. Like as long as people get along.
Yeah.
Like we have infinite energy.
Yeah. The thing is also, I think because there's an ability for such destruction.
Yeah.
Right? There's a reason why after World War I people thought about wars differently. And that's because you had never seen that much death and destruction.
Yeah.
Right? People react to that. So I think in this world, we probably don't have wars like that. Because it becomes very clear.
Yeah.
Just how, like, destruction works.
Well,
that person, if that tribe has an atomic person, that person overexerts themselves to blow up somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, you destroyed your enemy, but all that land is irradiated.
Yeah. So it's
not a great thing for you either.
No, it's not. It's not fantastic. So I think, I think there probably would be like at least one, I'm going to say quote unquote modern, like big war.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that, like, after that, hopefully people will sort of get their stuff together. Because once
again, it'd probably be there'd probably be a huge modern war, and then an era of, like, Cold War.
Well, there'll be a modern warfare. And then there'll probably be Modern Warfare 2. Maybe. I think there'll be some Black Ops going on somewhere there.
Definitely be. Black Ops would never go
there. There's zombies at some point.
Every single year it'd be there.
At some point there's zombies. And over there, there's a battlefield, but we don't really bother. Like, people don't talk about that one too much.
Good goof, Kevin.
It's a good goof.
It's a good goof.
But once you take away the idea of, like, energy
yeah.
being needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, the thing is, it's still needed, and people are lazy, so they would find ways. So people would find what?
He went to go see Ozzy.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, Steph.
Right.
So people would find ways to be lazy to generate energy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, once that person who has the ability to project atomic energy.
Yeah.
And once they figure out how to split an atom without that.
But
right?
I think that
person's going to still obviously be able to do that.
I don't think there'll be as big of a push to figuring that out because, once again, it's not just one person.
Oh, absolutely.
It's kind of like shifts at a job.
Yep.
Like, we talked about it a few times, but like, you literally are like, all right, it's your shift now. You go in and you pump some heat into this, make steam power, some electricity into this, make electricity, yep. some atomic energy, like that one, obviously you take much smaller shifts.
You know what? Actually, I think the world would have a smaller population because people would need more fuel.
Okay.
Like the average person needs to eat more because...
It's true.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing that society will be dealing with is making sure that like they can feed all these people who are pumping
population out. And food production would be very important.
But maybe with this unlimited energy... synthetic foods and things like that could become like they're cloning meat.
Yep.
They're making meat clones.
Yep.
And you know what? If they can do that, great. if it tastes fine, I'll eat it. I'll eat clone meat.
I know you will.
I'll eat that meat.
You'll eat anything.
I'll eat that clone meat. That meat that comes from a clone, I'll eat it.
Great.
Like it's not a human clone.
I don't want to talk about this world anymore.
Okay, so this world is full of utopia, energy, paradise, and clone meat.
Sure. I mean, you added that last bit.
Well, once again, where are you going to put your focus on?
Food.
Food.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to worry about the energy sector.
Cloning,
anything like that.
I feel like, is not a thing that people are going to do. I think more likely they come up with vertical gardens way earlier.
Okay. But the point is that you don't have to worry about the energy sector.
No.
All you have to worry about is food.
It's bad.
You don't even have to worry too much about the military.
Well, I mean,
because you pop in a few people with atomic energy.
Yeah, and there's not really anything else.
Yeah,
Everybody has a nuclear deterrent.
Yes,
everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has a nuclear.
Everybody
deterrent.
Has a nuclear deterrent.
It is their population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, rockets would probably still exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, hitting something from far away is still very valuable.
Yes, hitting something from far away is still very
valuable. So there'll still be drones, too.
Yeah, always drones.
Always drones.
There's always drones.
There's always drones.
And what happens to the person with electricity walks up to them and then, like, charges them, and the drones fly away.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
And then the person who can shoot radio waves is controlling them.
Oh, yeah! Man, that person with the radio waves is, like, it seems so underwhelming. But they have,
it's
like,
deceptively cool.
They have like active control over so many things.
Yep.
And they're having battles with other radio people to be like, I gotta get my frequency through
it's
their frequency.
It's an invisible war.
Yeah. Oh, an invisible radio war.
Invisible radio wars.
Yeah. All right, those are two worlds.
Superpowered showdown. Do we want to smash them together?
Invisibility and, well, then just you don't see anything because energy's invisible. People are invisible.
I guess it becomes a lot more cat and mouse like.
Yeah, sure. I guess. Yeah. Honestly, here's the weird thing. I don't think the two of them are incompatible.
No, I
or
don't think
compatible.
So.
They're
no.
just like
they exist separately.
Yeah. Like if you have a world where people can turn invisible and can project energy, you're like, okay, that's a thing they can do.
It's a thing they can do.
I don't think there's an interaction with that.
Yeah.
Other than, can you shoot infrared energy?
Yes, that's heat energy.
So, I mean...
I guess you could cloak yourself.
From
like,
if you're a cold person...
You could cloak yourself.
Yeah. But would you come up as a cold spot?
No, well, you just
You'd be a ghost!
You, like, the human body is warmer than the surrounding area,
yeah.
right? So you could just lower your internal temperature to the surrounding area.
All right. So cold people have gotten a lot cooler in this world.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Okay.
It's pun.
Yeah, I made
a joke.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like that joke I made, you should subscribe to us on Twitter. You should subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yep.
Leave us a rating, a review. Tell your friends about us.
Yeah. You can, if you'd like to talk to us, if you have some suggestions, you can tweet at us at Third Space Cast.
You can also
you can tweet at Kevin.
You two individually. I'm at Shawman K. Weir.
And I'm at Mighty Thews. You can email us at thirdspacepodcast.com or check out our website at thirdspacepodcast.com. The first one was supposed to be thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
Our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diablo Swing Orchestra.
You got it.
Turns out I've done this a few times. Join us next week on The Third Space, where we go through all 50 ways to leave a lover.
Number 35, faking your own death.
Until then, you're a cool person who lives in a cool place.